Hello, you're listening to Spoiler.
Filled.
Film.
Conversation.
Hooray! A little bit of a hooray from Jamie there. I'm going to put that up to maybe 40-45%.
So, guys, we're here once again to have a spoiler-filled film conversation.
Hooray.
Yes. I am Richard Nicholas, hello. With me is Abigail Bain.
Hello.
And Jamie Thomas.
Hello.
And Jamie Thomas is the person we have to blame for this week's film. We have all met our doom, for he has suggested the film Doom from 2005. Isn't that right, Jamie?
Yeah, sorry. yeah, Doom is a kind of adaptation of the video game series Doom from 2005. It's directed by, I apologise in advance for the pronunciation of these names, because, wow. Directed by Andrei Batoviak, I think. Written by David Callahan and Wesley Strick. It stars Carl Urban, who frequent listeners know as Dread, which is a much better film than this. Dabir Operai, Rosamund Pike, Razak Atodi, Richard Brake, Al Weaver, Dexter Fletcher, Brian Steele, Ben Daniels, that's like the whole team of Marines, and Dwayne Johnson, thankfully, just to make things a little
get
bit
it
more
right. You've got to say it with the name in the middle, or just...
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, I don't even mind just calling him The Rock, because that's how I know him. Maybe you know him as something else, but I know him as the People's Champion The Rock, whatever.
I know him as Rocky Maivia.
Yeah, that's true.
the plot is Space Marines are sent to investigate strange events at a research facility on Mars, but find themselves at the mercy of genetically enhanced killing machines, for some reason.
Which is basically the premise to any violent sci-fi video game.
Yeah, but not Doom.
Weirdly.
And yet, here we are.
That was going to be one of my first questions, because I know nothing about the game Doom, so I don't know how much like it this is.
The weird thing is, like, on the surface, it's fairly similar. It's Marine with a gun and monsters at a facility on Mars. Fine. But the plot of, like, the Doom games is, and this is mostly based on Doom 3, which was, like, not really a sequel. It was just starting the whole thing over again. I think that came out in 2004. But the plot is always pretty much the same. There's an archaeological dig on Mars, and it basically opens up an old, like, gateway, and they reactivate it, kind of like Stargate, and it turns out that it leads to hell.
Scary.
And there you go, it unleashes, like, demons, and in Doom 3, it does Event Horizon stuff, you know, it like, plays on people's personal fears and makes them hallucinate, and then turns them into zombies, or there's like literal demons from hell come out and drag them back or kill them or whatever. Mm. And it's a perfectly decent premise. I don't know quite why they changed it.
I was thinking that the whole arc bit of it was completely redundant.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah, they kind of make a big deal, like, oh, this arc thing we found, and it's really amazing, and it's like a teleporty thing. And it's like, well, it's more about... The problem is more from... human research going too far and trying to create superhumans, but in fact creating abominations. Which, you don't need a portal to tell that story, do you?
The weirdest thing is, even though the film abandons the whole, like, Hellgate thing from the games, it still has lots of very heavy religious symbolism. Like, they talk about it a lot. And there's lots of references to, like, demons and God and hell, and
it's called an ark. I suppose that's a reference.
Yeah, and like the whole thing about, because what is it? They've the alien race that they've discovered, who are long dead, unlocked the 24th
chromosome,
and like they injected it into themselves, and it either turns you superhuman or turns you into a monster. And they say that like. Something about how it there's a hint that it activates like the soul,
right?
And then
which beefs you up conveniently. Who knew the soul was so muscly and strong? It sort of littered with this, but they're easy to forget because essentially it does go, so Doom, that's about killing monsters with big guns, yeah? Yeah, let's just do that. Which is what it kind of does. I didn't know what to expect when you mentioned it. It kind of intrigued me because I quite like The Rock, both as a wrestler. I think he's okay in a lot of films. He's got kind of a funny persona or a kind of credible action look, hasn't he? You know, he's got a few things going for him when it comes to sort of blokey movies about, you know, punching stuff and shooting things.
I think there's more to him than that. I think he's got a lot of potential and it's still not quite been realised.
He's still treading in the same, like, footprints as, like, Hulk Hogan in just being a wrestler who does movies rather than capitalising on his charisma and charm.
Every now and again, he does something that stands out. Like, the last thing I saw him in, the recent thing I saw him in was Pain and Gain.
All right.
And, like, he's, like, it's a surprisingly decent film for a Michael Bay film. But he's great in it. Like, he's the highlight of the film.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the way of things. Like, usually when The Rock's in it, even if it's a bad film, such as Doom, he tends to be one of the better parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I find him very charismatic. I think he's an interesting guy. I think he can do comedy quite well. Not every time, based on him. One particular time stands out. When I say, oh, he's quite charming and funny, and then I remember him singing an awful song making fun of the wrestler character Vicky Guerrero, and that was just all horrible, wasn't it, Abby?
It was. That was. It was in really poor taste, but extremely well received, and that was what hurt the most.
Yeah, but he can do very funny stuff, and I think, you know, he's one of the better wrestlers turned actors, I think. And I was excited because I do like him a bit, but I also saw Carl Urban in it, and I was like, ooh. He did well in Dread. Surely he got in Dread because he did such a good job in Doom. It wasn't the thing I would think got him the job. He can hold a gun. Tick. There. He could be in Dread. I don't know. I haven't played the video game Doom. I've seen it. I know enough about it. It's kind of known as a sort of classic monster-y. It's kind of important, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah, it's one of the like original. It's part of the like pantheon of first-person shooters and horror games.
Yeah. And there is something I liked about this film, actually. We'll probably come on to it in more detail, but I liked the fact that towards the end they have a kind of first-person-y shooter element to the film, which I thought was kind of a cool reference. It should have been more like that. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Abby, did you particularly liked that bit? I mean, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If there had been more of that in this movie, it would have been a lot better.
It was kind of funny.
It was the only bit that had proper humour to it.
It felt like one of those like rides, like simulation rides you might go in on like a theme park where you're kind of sat in a seat going along an adventure or something. It felt like, ooh, this things are dropping down. It's like playing an arcade game without having to do any of the tedious shooting and paying money.
The part of that sequence that I liked was that he dies and then regenerates.
Yeah. It would have been a shade too much if it had said insert coin now to continue. Yeah. You have lives left or, you know, whatever. I mean, you like that bit at the end, right? That was a good bit.
Yeah.
We'll come on to it later, but like one of my problems with this is the problem that surfaces with a lot of the films we do is that the tone is all over the place.
Yeah.
And one of the bizarre ones of this is it kind of shares a problem with Super Mario Brothers, actually, where, like, video game references are made in the dialogue. The Rock repeatedly saying, it's game time. As if to say, this is a movie of a video game, guys. Do you remember the game? Games. Video games.
Yeah. Abby, what were your expectations then?
Oh, absolutely none at all. Other than I knew that Doom was... Well, it was called Doom, so it wasn't going to be cheery.
Fair
and
enough.
That as a game, it was fairly dark.
Yeah.
But I hadn't played it. I just had a sort of casual awareness.
Yeah. So how did you come across this the first time, Jamie? Why did you put it to us?
I bought it on DVD just like on a whim. I think back in like 2006. I seem to remember I was in uni when I watched it. And I think curiosity.
Right.
Like, I saw that The Rock was in it, and this is when he was, like, still somewhat started out.
Yeah.
In his acting career. Because at this point, he's not the size of a tree. Yeah, it was just curiosity. And, like, I've played the Doom games-ish. Like, I've played them to a point, but I've never completed any of them or anything like that. Mm. Even though I dislike the vast majority that I've seen, I'm always fascinated by movie versions of video games.
Mm.
Usually because I'm fascinated to see how bad they turn out.
I was about to say that it is part of the joy of it is seeing how much they didn't even look at their source material. Haven't even been close enough to smell this game.
That's the thing with this. This is actually probably...
There's more fidelity to the game in this than most other game movies, I would imagine.
It even has the BFG gun, which is like a classic Doom trope.
Yeah. Even though it isn't called the Big Effing Gun, you know that's what BFG stands for.
Yeah. But I think if I was going to pick a favorite, or at least one that I would say, yeah, that one's not too bad, of all video game movies, Mario Brothers aside, because that's a whole category by itself.
We've got issues with that one, yeah.
Yeah. This one, I think, is, like, the closest to actually being, like, reasonable. Like, this is okay. This isn't offensively bad, like...
Yeah, so many of them are.
Most of them.
Yeah. It's odd as well, because lots of games feel like they would make, you know, good films, or... And there's no reason why any video game can't inspire a really good film. It's just, the track record is you make a film about a video game and you either betray the game or you just make a terrible film either way.
I think the problem with film versions of video games is most of the best video games, especially the really cinematic ones, like the ones that really engage you, are already love letters to film.
Yeah.
So, like...
You're just taking the interaction out then. It's like, this is a good film. And I wish I was playing it and shooting all the monsters, not watching other people boringly do it slowly, you know?
Yeah, it's like... If you took something like Dead Space, which is full of references to Alien and Event Horizon and all that kind of stuff, which as a game is fine, because it's like you're interacting with those films, with those like classics of sci-fi horror.
Mm.
Whereas, like, if you then took that and turned that back into a film, you've just got a rip-off of all those old films.
Yeah.
Unless you did something really interesting with it.
Mm. Yeah. It's also something people think, oh, it's a very filmic game, playing it. But that's because you're involved very directly. You're controlling your character. And often, if you watch a Kabuta Games cutscenes, like, all together, like, on YouTube or something, they don't string together like a film. They're not that easy to convert. And it is a difficult thing to do. You should really take inspiration from video games and sort of, do something if you want. But it's really hard to translate because it's just... They're separate mediums for a reason, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, you know, we watched this. And the thing that struck me at first was... It was like what the opening to a video game. I felt like after the first 5-minute cutscene that it should have been, it would have been like, and now I jump out of the helicopter or whatever, or whatever they're travelling in, or the lift in this case, and start shooting monsters, do I? Slowly learning how to move around, finding what health packs are. But that didn't happen. They kept wandering around in the dark for ages without me doing anything.
Actually... When you talk about watching cutscenes strung together on YouTube, that's kind of what this is.
Yeah, but that, like, because they're long and weird, and because there's so much more footage potentially over a video game, they make a weird narrative rather than a sensible one.
Yeah, it basically does feel like a bunch of cutscenes strung together, like the gameplay's been removed, which is why I think the first-person sequence is so nice, because it almost feels like you're finally playing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the cutscene's over, I'll play the game now.
It was the small reward to sitting through it, that bit. I don't know, man. It's just... It's such a generic sci-fi movie as well. It's sort of in the same ballpark as Alien. Like, that's the feeling I got from it.
I'd say it was more like Aliens than Alien.
Yeah, sure, that's fair enough.
I think it just couldn't decide what it was. Because it was being really dark... And trying to be tense, but at the same time making the worst jokes.
Yeah, and they felt like every time there was like these really terrible generic lines thrown in all the time, like "Let's get them," and like just really boring things to say. And they would, what was really weird, more towards the end, the Rock in particular would swear. It's like, you're just swearing to be like a cool 90s action movie. It's just, you're just swearing for the sake of it. Like, and it just came across as, why did you swear there? You'd no reason to drop the F-bomb at that particular time.
It was hard to figure out whether the film was deliberately playing up to the cliches, like the names of all the characters.
For example, Reaper, Destroyer, Duke, Goat,
Sarge,
Portman, Sarge. Who's the other one?
Poons.
The kid.
McNoob.
What really stuck out for me was that Dexter Fletcher's character was called Pinky.
Yeah.
Well, that's a reference to the games. That the monster he turns into is called Pinky in the game.
Okay, so it's not like a reference to like Bugsy Malone or something, like, because it sounds seems like that kind of kiddie gangster name to be given.
No, it's the monster's nickname that fans gave it in the games was Pinky, and they wanted that monster in there.
His was particularly odd as a change, because everyone else became sort of this fleshy exo yuck
zombie muscly thing. Yeah.
But he turned into a perfectly smooth little dog beast
sausage with a wheelchair attached thing.
Even though it was like that the design of that monster was taken pretty much directly from the games, it was still like, it was a decent design. That it didn't look as generic as the rest of the monsters.
Well, that's the thing, is it sort of was a bit a mix-up of all kind of shooty sci-fi action movies, and it was just, you know, military guys. They all had a type, they all had a nickname, and that was as far as it went, really. There was a guy who sort of was some kind of Catholic or Christian, and he would, weirdly, if he took the Lord's name in vain, he did once, I don't know why it was a big thing, he'd kind of scar himself with, like, a cross, as if, oh, this guy's a nuts kind of positive version of Mr. Zazz from Batman.
Yes, that's the thing, like, the religious imagery, like, a lot of it comes from him initially, because he's, I can't remember what his character's name was.
Goat.
Was that Goat?
I think he's Goat, or is he Hell Knight? I'm not sure. I'll have a look.
No, Hell Knight is the, oh wait, maybe you're right. Well, anyway, yeah, he's deeply religious, and one of the, like, the strange things that the film does is, he gets attacked, and he gets, like, it's never made clear what the monsters are trying to do. They're trying to, like, infect and spread this mutation.
Yeah, I got the sense that they were just really disgusting vampires.
Yeah, pretty much. But he gets infected, and then he, like, he's pronounced dead, and they lock him away in a room, and then he wakes up, and it seems like there's still some of him left in there. Like, he knows what's happened to him, and he crosses himself, and then he bashes his head against the glass until he dies to, like, eliminate himself. But the weird thing is, I don't know if anyone else noticed, when he mutates, he has the beginning of horns.
Yeah, he looks like a kind of ugly, bloody demon or something.
Yeah, he goes all, like, demonic, and, like, so does the thing mutate you based on something inside you? Well, or does it, like...
Well, this is the weird thing. We should talk about how the monsters work, because they're completely contrived and ridiculous. And it's sort of, they're basically, yeah, big, burly, ugly, suckery monsters. They have a weird thing about shooting off a kind of, what are those squidgy jelly, like, things you could buy that you sort of...
I know the thing you mean, and you'd, like, you squeeze them and they, like, flop them out. I don't know. Sound terrible.
I believe they're referred to as a wiggle.
Yeah, like that. You know what they're like? They're like those fake tins of salted peanuts. They open the lid and, like, things burst out of them. They shoot off those and they bite your neck. And that turns you into either a super superhuman good person, or an ugly monster thing that sort of smashes about the place.
The gist of it is this dig uncovered and the remains of an ancient civilization on Mars, and some of them were, like, superhuman, and some of them were monsters. And
but why?
It
was something to do with you either with this extra chromosome, blah blah blah, science garbage that makes no sense. With the extra the 24th chromosome or whatever it is, like you get basically muscle up. You get somehow more perfect and strong, or you're a monster. But it's based on whether you're a good person
or not.
What's the? Or you're a psychopath, or like just whether or not you.
The psychos seek psychos. That's why the monsters.
Yeah, that's
multiply,
it.
But the good people don't.
Because they don't attack people who wouldn't become monsters.
They just sort of awkwardly stand about, wasting any potential to do it.
And like,
which was another reason it was weird that they attacked Pinky, because he was so docile.
Yeah, he seemed like such a little wuss.
He didn't even fess up to being a soldier, even though he, you know, was a soldier when he had his stupid "oops, I got portaled in half" accident.
He
looks odd on that weird "I'm on a stick" wheelchair.
I thought that was what was going to happen to Sarge at the end.
What, he was going to have a wheelchair?
Half of him was in the portal.
Oh, right. No, that
and
was
then
just,
for some reason, they held him there for ages.
That was their special weird shutty door that was liquidy or whatever.
No. When he gets thrown into the ark.
Oh, you mean at the very... When he sort of... Yeah.
Yeah.
He's treated.
Like, yeah, you think the same thing's going to happen to him as what happened to Pinky, but it just sucks him all in.
Yeah, and he's left to explode, because classic. You throw the baddie away, and then you throw a grenade in and get away scot-free.
Because that's why I thought he tied him to his hand, so that he could hold on to one half, but the other half
away.
Yeah,
that's what I thought as well.
Because he didn't need to do that. Otherwise, if he was just going to chuck him all in.
Yeah, but so we you know, the general idea is bad monsters beget more bad ones, but you also get the one-offs where someone's so nice and good for some reason, they get the benefit of better bodies.
It's such a bizarre choice because it's almost the religious thing, like plot of the game.
Yeah.
It's almost the hell thing and demons, but it's like they were. I can't find anywhere why they chose to change that. I don't know if it was maybe they were afraid of how like American audiences would respond.
It's a weird choice. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't make that much sense to say, oh, so scientists were unethically experimenting, because that's what they always do in horror, sort of action movie type things. Just, we're doing unethical experiments and it's a secret and blah, blah, blah. And it backfired because everyone's monsters now. Like, it felt a bit like John Carpenter's The Thing at times, because it was like anyone could be potentially turning into a monster. And it's like, I don't think those are the rules, guys. It's not... And then when The Rock starts killing everyone on principle of they could be a bad guy eventually, I've got to kill us all. It's just like, hang on.
Yeah.
They're not bitten. Like they're not, like, it's like vampires. They'd definitely be bitten first.
I like that The Rock's turn is like a classic wrestling heel turn. He's just bad now.
He decided that the monsters are so scary, he's going to kill everyone. And it's like... What annoys me about his, he's like this, he's a leader and he's, you know, Jobsworth to some extent. And then there comes a point where he turns on his own soldier and kills him for not killing innocent people. And it's like, what do you mean? Now, surely everyone turns on The Rock and just kills him for being a madman. Like, authority or not, it's like, well, you don't need to execute. Are you just, like, it's clear that The Rock is basically going to get his soldiers to kill everyone there and then he'll kill them all. And possibly, if he's that noble, kill himself. Like, it seems like, okay, this guy's got off the deep end now. And yet, they still put up with him long enough for him to, I don't know, there's distractions and monsters and, oh no, more drama, so...
They do give him two of the best lines of the film, one of which I can't repeat here. But the other one comes earlier when they get attacked in one of the hallways with one of those, like, shifting doors.
Yeah.
And he's pulled half through, and then... He looks up at Carl Urban and he's struggling to hold on. He says, "I'm not supposed to die," and then he gets pulled through, which I thought that was great. That actually made me laugh properly.
It feels like this. It feels like that's The Rock saying, "I can't be in a film where I'm the star and I'm a bad guy and I die."
I think this is the first film where he plays. This might be the only film where he plays a villain.
It kind of, it's supposed to come as a shock, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, because he was originally going to be Carl Urban's character.
Right.
But he decided he wanted to be Sarge because he thought it was more interesting.
I think it was. I think you'd expect Rock to be the hero to the end.
Yeah.
And it was more interesting to have him kind of go a bit nutty and decide to kill lots of people.
Especially in 2005. I know he was like, the Scorpion King was his debut, but
yeah,
he was basically a big, really poorly done CGI scorpion at the end of that film. But for the most part, you assume he's a good guy. So it's particularly in 2005 when he was just starting out.
Mm.
So, and yeah, he is built up as the good guy all the way through. So when he starts to turn, but he doesn't start, he just turns.
He just does a handbrake heel turn.
Yeah, he does like the cinematic equivalent of smashing somebody in the back with a chair. When like you were expecting him to help, and then the audience goes no.
Yeah, he looks like he's swinging for the other good for the bad guy, and then he doesn't. He hits the good guy, and he's like, what?
Exactly. Yeah. Except the difference here is he shoots a young guy in the throat.
Yes, charming. Yeah, incidentally, what's the line that you really like that presumably has an F in it?
Yes, semper fi, mother.
What does that mean? Oh, we didn't understand that. He has it on his back.
It's Latin. It's a marine thing. It's like semper fi. It's like hoorah, you know.
Oh, right.
Okay.
That's what it means. It's a marine's, like, catchphrase.
What was the other line that I said stood out? Because it was, like, a really famous-ish line, but wasn't quite, Abby.
If it moves, kill it. Or if it bleeds, kill it.
If it breathes, kill it, he says, as well.
Breathes. There we go.
There you go. Semper fi. Fidelis is a Latin phrase that means always faithful or always loyal.
Mm.
Which is why he says when they're fighting at the end, always loyal to the core.
Oh, okay. So he's sort of true blue. I always take my orders and deal with them exactly how I have to. So he can say these weird Latin words that he has tattooed on himself. And it goes, oh, that's so cool if I understood what it meant. But most of the time, it is just cheesy lines like, if it breathes, kill it. Which is kind of cool. But so generic. It's filled with just, you know, typical dialogue, the unimaginative things. Like, it's almost like what AI soldiers say in video games just before they kill someone. Like,
This is what I was saying about the tone. Like, the film almost completely embraces the idea of being, like, a comedy. Like, almost a spoof of action movies.
It would have been better if it had been more like something like Super Troopers.
Yeah, if it just completely embraced it and just went ridiculous, like Paul Verhoeven over the top.
Just go super funny and make it about having a laugh, have it be a kind of fun, it's like a regular action sci-fi like Alien or Aliens, and then have it be a sort of tongue-in-cheek comedy gamer movie, which is a bit more about fun and kind of poke fun at the science that doesn't make sense and the motivations people have that make no sense as well.
I think that's one of the problems for me is they imbued everything with so much weight, which you don't want in a movie like this. It's like, oh, that guy used to be a man. Now he's turned into a monster and he's stuck halfway through a door and he's alive on a drip. And it's one of the most depressing things I've ever heard.
I can't tell if it's ironic or just fitting that one of the problems with this film seems to be fear on the part of the people who made it. They held back on the hell thing and the religious thing, seemingly because they were frightened to do that in a mainstream action film. And they also held back on the humour because they were afraid that people wouldn't take it seriously. And it's like, if they'd gone whole hog...
Any direction.
Yeah, and made it really like dark and embraced the religious stuff, gone back to the roots of the game and made it about like a gateway to hell and gone full like Event Horizon with it. Or just gone completely nuts, like over the top, Paul Verhoeven funny, ridiculous action movie.
Yeah, but instead we get an awkward medium where they go dark and it has creepy monsters having autopsies, people pulling out hearts and going, heart, liver, and then having cheesy black characters chat up the person giving the autopsy. It's just like it's the most horrible, ridiculous way.
Now is not the time.
That was one of the things about that scene that really bothered me. Was something that probably not It's about me more than it's about it. But does nobody wash their hands before they touched other things in that scene?
I thought that too.
They don't even take their bloody gloves off. Or the guy's just putting his like ungloved hand into the like gaping autopsy corpse thing. And just like giving it the old, oh, hi, I'm going to give you some cheesy lines. Because everyone gets crazy makeout sessions at an autopsy with aliens just dead everywhere.
I thought, there's a bit where they go outside after when she's like autopsying away, and then they go out into the corridor, and she's got her hands like on the walls, and she's pressing the keypad, and I'm like, take your gloves off, look at them.
That's not nice. I mean, this is blood that we've seen has weird creepy stuff in it as well.
Yeah,
like it kind of looks like
spread it around like your finger painting.
Oh, whatever. So it has this kind of gory disgustingness, and it has a cheap kind of comedy with just these lame jokes in it, and it is a shame. And all of the soldiers are really just sort of cliched types, like the crazy psycho one and the rookie and the I don't want to say charismatic black guy, but it's not really charismatic as much as he is a goof. And everything is super predictable. You know, I could even tell what kind of scare you're getting, because when tension builds, it's like, oh, something's in the vent. No, it'll be like one of those animals they've got loose a minute ago. Probably a rat or something. Oh, it's a monkey and he's shot it. Oh, brilliant. And you know when it's not, like, and it's like the moments where there's like the psycho guy is like crawling across the floor to get his ammo, and he gets up and he's like, oh, I thought I was going to be killed there. And you're like, no, you'll be killed when you smugly think that you got away with it. And it was just a mouse. No, it'll be an alien. There you go, you're being killed by an alien. It was so obvious.
I just want to clarify something real quick. Did the dog overtly die in this movie?
What dog?
Because he ran away. There was a dog that was barking at one point. Oh, yeah. And it ran away because the monster was there. And I don't think we saw it again. So is there potential for that dog to have lived?
Well, Rock went around killing everything most of the time. Also, a whole animal lab was sort of there, barking and scary in the dark. And then when they get back, some of the monsters got in and apparently decided not just to kill the animals, but to make a creative mess with every single animal and just make as much disgusting goop everywhere as they could.
It's weird how they held back on the hell stuff. And yet went whole hog with the gore. Almost to make up for it.
It's not the kind of horrible, like, disgust. It's not that disgusting. The autopsy stuff's a bit, what are you doing? But it's not like, oh, I can't look gory. It's just sort of, ugh, monsters gory, you know? Ugh, they look like melty wax sculptures, or, you know, sort of covered in blood. Ooh, like, it's not really, like, when you say something is really gory, you're like, to me, it has to be extra kind of visceral and kind of hard to watch, but this is just sort of, you know, ridiculous gore.
It gave me the sense that if you were there, it would smell terrible. But you could watch it. You just didn't want to be there.
Covered in the yucky goop.
Did anyone else question why the kid was on some kind of drugs, because it never went anywhere?
Yeah, it was just like, oh, the rookie has decided to ask the crazy guy for some pills to cope with confidence or something. Like, who is this guy? He's passed the test, so why is he such a noob?
I thought there was some kind of drug scandal around that time, though.
Oh, I don't think they were being that topical.
The
guy eats some Tic Tacs and, ooh, his eyes are dilated, so, and he's talking a bit when Carl Urban's trying to be serious.
I was just going to say, I thought that would lead to his fate somehow.
Nah, I just gets killed. Unrelated to taking drugs.
The Rock just shoots him in the neck.
Because he's a nice guy and he wants to not kill innocent people who've somehow survived.
I think maybe it was just in their attempts to give each character a thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Like the rookie who sort of decides to take the wrong path and therefore ends up regretting it. And that's what I mean, is everyone has predictable either deaths or predictable story arcs that you kind of go, well, yeah. Of course the big burly guy takes on the big burly monster and has a fight where he nearly wins. And that was kind of interesting, where he was in the really telegraphed moment where it's like, what's that down there? Oh, that's a holding cell. What? Yeah, look, it's got electrified walls. Ow, it hurts. Oh, I wonder if that'll come up later and someone will have to fight the monster in there. Oh, they did. And he sort of weirdly pinned him with a big metal thing and electrocuted him and whatever. He still died because he's that guy who gets killed at the end even though he thinks he's won. It's always the burly guys who think they win and then they die. They think, I beat the big one, and then it's like, nah, you're going to die anyway.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? It's just, like, cliches from start to finish. But that's what I mean. I could not tell if it was on purpose.
The cliches weren't actually my biggest problem with this, because it was based on a game. It was going to be somewhat cliched, because that's the mechanic that they use.
Sure.
Yeah.
As the shorthand. It was actually that they didn't counterpoint any of the literal darkness with light.
It was such a dark movie. And
all the time.
Yeah.
Just black and hard to see. It was kind of lit in that sci-fi blue, and everyone had little kind of glowy bits on guns and stuff to look cool. I like their guns basically are kind of butch and ridiculous and big, but also they have fingerprint things like Dredd, like his gun, only they just go, your nickname is Slinky. Your nickname is Lord Cool.
I think the cliches actually is probably a good example of what I was talking about earlier. You know, about like translating a video game which is already full of like references to previous films
and tropes and everything.
Yeah, so it's all like Doom is loaded with like movie references and deliberate cliches because you want to play through those familiar movies. So when you take that and put it back in film, you just get this cliche-ridden, like, derivative mess, especially when you then mess with what made the game work in the first place.
Yeah, and it's just, they didn't, it was just all the same kind of dudes walking around in the dark. I think they put the lights on once for the lab because the woman's going to do a bunch of messing around and develop her. Yeah, I'm the twin of like Carl Urban, and I have a different life path because I'm a scientist and he's a soldier, and there's history, and who cares about your dead family? But anyway, they put the light on for her to have, you know, a bit of light to do horrible autopsies. But the rest of the time, they wander around in the dark with just the occasional blue lighting, so things can jump out all the easier on you. And it's just, you get so tired of it not being, you know, having anything other than darkness everywhere.
It's jump scares with no atmosphere as well.
Yeah. They even have some quite interesting sets where they have, like, the arc jumping point where the lift is to get from Earth to Mars or whatever. And they have this big set with loads of generic-y looking sci-fi seating and lights. But it's like, they don't really spend that much time in there. And it's just kind of an open hall for them to be in occasionally for, you know, to have lots of people in it. Like, they kept injecting loads of civilians when they kind of establish it's more or less empty. And then every now and again, it's like, who are all these people we didn't realise were there? That was very weird.
Yeah, when it gets to that point, and when the rock starts to turn, and suddenly it's like, we need to evacuate, it doesn't become very clear where exactly they are.
It seems abandoned, like, initially, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like, are they in the Ark Room on Mars now, or are they back on Earth? Like,
yeah,
what's happening here?
So it's unclear because it's dark all the time, and it's unclear in terms of who is where and how many people are there and what they're there for. And, you know, it's just sort of bizarre. It's mainly just people wandering around, not communicating properly over their walkie-talkies, getting killed and shooting at things that aren't monsters. Most of the time they just shoot things that aren't monsters. Because, oh, there's a noise, or I've dropped a barrel, or I'm an idiot in some way. Let's shoot that thing and at each other.
Some of these guys are potentially the worst Marines the Corps has ever seen.
And we can't call for backup because the Rock's like, no, it's fine. We don't need our job is to just kill everything and go home. We can't call for backup, even though there's clearly, like, they've never heard of these monsters. These aren't, oh, you know, the monsters have got out again. These are a new thing that no one understands and is suddenly very blasé about, considering. And the Rock's just like, well, we have to kill them. It's like, we found a new species. Yes, they're violent and hostile, but yeah, I know, we'll kill them all and then go home. We can't, you know, report back and say, okay, we've got to contain this, stop ourselves and civilians getting killed, but then maybe, I don't know, do some science research and study these monsters we've never seen before, because they're essentially another species.
Carl Urban talks about destroying the data, and The Rock's like, no, this is UAC property, we have to take this back.
But at that point, he's supposed to be a baddie, and it's like, yeah, we do want The Rock to give the thing over. People should know about this. Why would Carl Urban, the supposed to be a good guy, want to destroy them and delete all of it from history?
I guess the idea is Carl Urban saying, no, they'll experiment with this on Earth and they'll make more monsters.
Yeah.
So we have to stop them. And The Rock is like, no, I just follow orders.
I give them in. And it seems as if The Rock would give them in to his superiors so they can exploit them. That's the implication. It's not that he's giving them in because he's like, the press must know. He's just like, no, our job is to take them back. I am the soldier who does all the soldiering. It bothered me that the Carl Urban is supposed to be this good guy and he wants to delete the truth to save humanity from itself. Jerk. Science needs to get involved. We need to study the creatures, study this chromosome thing, and not do it unethically in a special hidden lab without telling anyone. That's the mistake evil scientists always make, is they keep it a big secret to themselves. Plus, you know, they seem to not know about hygiene in the lab. Have we glossed over any little bits that are worth talking about?
It's weird, because every now and again there's little moments in the film that sparked my attention. Like, one of them is at the beginning, there's a really nice bit of foreshadowing that I was surprised was in the film.
Go on.
When they all, like, get the call to go up to Mars, and they're about to go on, like, leave.
Of course, because all soldiers about to go on leave always get called back last minute to be action heroes.
Exactly.
Go on.
And they're getting on their, like, helicopter thing.
Mm.
And Carl Urban, like, Sarge tells him not to go because his parents died on Mars or whatever, you know.
Blah, blah, blah. He has a story, yeah. Therefore he could be a main character.
Yeah, and then they're all getting on there, and he's like, no, you take leave, we'll all go. And they all get on the helicopter, and then he pops up, of course. But there's this nice moment where him and The Rock are sat, like, face-to-face, and there's a shot of Carl Urban where he says, you have to face your demons sometime, and then there's a shot of The Rock, and the red lights come up.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, that was great. That if the film had more of that going on...
Yeah, that's the kind of, you know, you can sort of go, oh, look, they clearly foreshadowed it in a more symbolic way.
Yeah.
That's very good, and it's that sort of thing that may have littered the film slightly that gets lost, really, because it's just, you know, just so generic. That is a good point, yeah. Actually. And The Rock looks really cool, black, you know, red lit, doesn't he?
Yeah. Despite all its faults, I don't hate this film.
It has things to enjoy as well, like the big gun, when Rock goes to get it, it's this ridiculous, like, you have to be a massive, burly video game character to carry it. And it just shoots, like, this blue stuff that's sort of disintegrative. Like, it's very video gamey. And you go, yeah, I want to see that get shot again. And they all kind of revel in it, like, yeah, that was pretty cool, firing that gun. There's nice moments in there.
That puzzled me, though, because she kept saying... we only study archaeology here. We only dig up stuff. And it's like, why do you have a massive, massive armory with advanced weapons in it?
That's never explained.
It's not a military base or whatever. And it was so obvious when they foreshadowed the, oh, we can't get in the room with the big gun in. We'll definitely be getting in the big room with the gun in. Oh, does it involve having a handprint? Oh, did we not see a severed hand earlier on that was, like, kind of part of the opening scene? Yeah, we did. I wonder if they'll use the severed hand to open the door. Oh, of course they are. Yeah, he's getting the big gun. Like, so obvious. Everything it did, it was telegraphed ridiculously.
I don't know exactly. It's just that general sense of every now and again, they'd manage to just touch on something that was funny or clever or just well conceived. And then the rest of the time, they insisted on smearing it with just this terrible, cheesy nonsense.
Yeah.
And
I discovered something that kind of fits in with that. You were saying about, like, how there's, like, moments of, like, I don't want to say, like, subtlety, but quality in there.
Yeah.
Like, self-awareness. The score is a really, like, typical, like, early 2000s action movie, like, crunchy guitars and... it's utterly generic.
And they kick in at times where, oh, it's amping up, or it's not. It just, every time it's all amped up, it was like, and then they didn't discover a monster and it was fine. They had an argument.
And that's, that score is by Clint Mansell, who did the score for Moon, Black Swan, The Wrestler, Noah, really, like, talented film composer.
What's going on there?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Maybe he was going for, like, pastiche, but it was too close to be pastiche. It ended up being rubbish action movie.
Yeah, that's kind of the film all over, really. Like, are they, like, did they try so hard to make fun of cliches that they just fell into the pit?
Yeah, they forgot the joke to pastiche. They just did a sort of terrible generic film.
It feels like this film, with the exception of some of the actors maybe, was the one that everyone was contractually obliged to make rather than chose to.
Yeah, it does. A lot of it does feel, with the predictability as well, a lot of it does feel very workmanlike.
It's no one's passion project, is it?
It's a job.
Yeah, okay, we're going to make a video game movie. It's fine. Gilligan's killing, right? We'll need blue lights and sort of generic corridor sets and, you know, science lab stuff that looks cool. Well, I didn't understand. Oh, actually, come to think of it, now you mentioned the gun thing about, like, why are there loads of guns here? They do kind of turn up and go, oh, who left all this stuff out? Referring to, like, is it... No, it's... I think they're referring to just lab equipment in a lab, and it's like, well, it's a lab, and the computers aren't left here. They're used. Like, it was just... It was very... Even the soldiers seemed confused by their surroundings.
I didn't like that they didn't even make passing reference to finding a health pack.
Yeah.
There was one shot where they... It was early-ish on, and they hadn't gone into the first-person stuff yet. But they'd done a semi-first-person shot, and they were looking at the floor as they were weaving through things on the floor. And it's like, find a health pack. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
Just right there, glowing and rotating slightly.
You've already got the thing of the BFG when he finds it is suspended in midair.
Yeah.
A gun would be in an early FPS, so, you know, why not just go the whole hog?
I think that's it, really, is this could have worked if it had gone in the same direction as, say, like something like Scott Pilgrim does, which is it goes, oh, don't you love video games? Let's make a movie full of video game references and have it be all kind of fun. And you think you're getting a regular sort of sci-fi shooter, and then after a while, it is just a fun indulgence of video game culture and video game tropes, and has a little bit of a... you know, tongue-in-cheek feel. And it needs that comedy that it desperately lacked. And it needed to be more of a love letter to video games and less of a hate mail to films. ending-wise, you know, we get everyone turning into monsters and then that classic bit of, oh, we're the only ones left and I'm dying because I've been shot by the nasty heel version of The Rock. Oh, I know, I'll save you by injecting the thing that's turning everyone into monsters. What?
Because I know you.
Oh. Yeah, I know you're good. It would have been great if he just turned into a monster.
If he did it, it just turned into a monster, ate her, and teamed up with The Rock. They like, bump fists and then jump in the ark and go kill everyone on Earth. It would have been great. And also, The Rock took ages to turn into a monster. Like, he was the last one to turn, even though it was almost like a good reveal when they showed The Rock hadn't become a monster. It's like, oh, he's a good guy too. And his weird sticking to the rules, kill everyone thing was actually him trying to do the best for society. But no, he still was going to slowly turn into a monster.
It's probably because his character was so strong in terms of its... I don't quite know what the word is looking for, but its restriction. He was always keeping a lid on everything.
Yeah.
So he was holding it in for a long time until he finally just cracked open.
Yeah, it does seem to be a thing that you mutate based on who you are.
How strong-willed you are as well.
Yeah, so he kind of slowly turns into, like, becomes more monstrous until he turns into the villain from The Mask at the end.
With slightly stronger cheekbones and scary teeth.
Big teeth, yeah.
It is odd. And it's just that thing of, okay, we're going to fight now. I guess we'll throw down our guns and I'll test out my superpowers and you'll, you know, be a big monster. And we'll have a, like, wrestling match at the end because, you know, it's The Rock. Yeah. We bait
I was so disappointed that he didn't bust out a single wrestling move. Like, not, like, he did, I think he did, like, maybe a flip or something.
Yeah.
But no rock bottom.
no people's elbow. I would have really liked it. Because at one point he like wraps metal around his fist because, you know, that's hot. When you're a super monster, you need a bit of extra metal around your fist. But if he'd have just took that off and then done a bit of flare and then like bounced off something and hit the people's elbow. Or give it the eyebrow or something.
I was very surprised that the eyebrow didn't make an appearance.
Yeah.
But he had his sort of prosthetics on towards the end when he was doing the proper fighting, so it might not he might not have been able to do it anymore.
If he'd have been a good guy, I think he could have got away with finishing him like with a rock bottom into the portal or something. But as you mentioned earlier, he just sort of gets grabbed and thrown in the portal and not quite split in half, and then they chuck a bomb in and he dies, and hooray, Carl Urban has saved the day, and his twin sister is, no one liked her, it doesn't matter if she's alive, but she is alive. Like, she was very, I just couldn't get on with her. I thought she always made the wrong decisions, and always found her priorities were very confused.
Yeah, I never really understood whether she knew or not about a lot of what was going on.
And she did, because she kept it all secret, even though there was no need for her to, I don't know, it was stupid. Very detestable role, really, to play. But yeah, it just sort of goes, and then they lived happily ever after, having severed their ties with the place that had the experiments, and no one will ever go there, and it's fine. Unless they've got the thing, one of them could have been bitten. I mean, she wanders, she crawls off at one point, so if she's, they should have like panned in on her bite, and he's actually saved her and took her back to Earth, and you know, it could be like the end of the thing, where you don't know if one of them's the beast or not.
Yeah.
But whatevs, it ended, so that's good.
Yeah. It does just kind of stop at the end.
Yeah.
He just kind of says, we're almost home now. Oh, okay.
I was a bit disappointed that at no point anyone said the word doom, like you're going to your doom or anything.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted an Invader Zim-style doom, like a kind of really loud bellowing.
Or at least just for it to be an acronym for something and for it just to say doom.
Well, like MASH. So it's like the deadly organization of monsters or something.
With little stars between the letters.
Yeah. Final thoughts and what can we have as our rating?
Oof, it's tough. It could be monsters from other stuff. From all media.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Sure.
Oh, it's just, this is a classic film bin one in the sense of, it's just a shame. There's stuff that's like, oh, I like that bit, I like that bit, I like that bit. But all of the bad choices you made have ruined everything. And there was something good in here that just got spoiled.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess this monster for me was, there was a show called Round the Bend when I was young. And it had this thing that was just basically a hand that came up the toilet to attack you, I guess. This was a kid's show. So
sounds quite apt.
I don't actually know what it did. And it was so, from what I recall, the skin was sort of green, and it had things on the end of his fingertips that, now that I think back, may have been licorice all sorts.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember this as well. I remember around the time because it frightened me to death when I was
That's
a child.
The thing. When I was a kid, it frightened me, and I was afraid of the toilet for a while. But looking back now, it's like, that's the stupidest thing ever. It doesn't make any sense. And that's what this is like, where If someone who was too young for it watched it, it would be frightening and it would be terrible. But as soon as you're an actual adult, you just look at this and go, this is just stupid.
Yeah, and it's come from the toilet where this film clearly came from. Okay, good. Jamie, what about you?
I got really mixed feelings about this film because, like, I think had it, like, really embraced itself and what it was and just been silly on purpose, and had it also been shorter, I think if they cut, like, 15 minutes off and it was pretty much exactly an hour and a half...
Right.
There was potential there for just, like, a fun, stupid B-movie.
Yeah.
Which, like, parts of it still are. There's bits where, like, it engaged me again in a ridiculous way. I was watching it going, what? But still, like, enjoying it. And then there'd be a long sequence where I would just get bored.
Mm.
And I don't know, it's just a mixed bag. But putting it in the genre of video game films, you know, when you've got Silent Hill, or particularly Silent Hill Revelation, or Street Fighter.
Oh, don't slam that. Hey. We may end up doing a commentary for that.
I don't know whether, if it had gone for the same tone as Street Fighter.
Might have been a bit of fun.
It would have worked.
Yeah, it would have, particularly with The Rock in it.
Yeah.
But it just...
It's not as bad as some of the worst video game films, is it?
Yeah, it doesn't plumb the depths like a lot of them do. And it's not offensively bad, but it's disappointingly mediocre for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because there is, like, there's potential in there.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't really do anything with a lot of it. It's not unwatchable.
Right.
But it's not a classic. Yeah. But it is definitely, like, classic film bin, because it's got all the hallmarks, you know, the tone is all over the place. The plot doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah, it's kind of the key to mediocrity, and therefore us casting another eye over it.
It's got a good cast who are squandered.
Yeah, because everyone loves great movies and loves chatting about them. And people have a fondness for terrible, terrible movies. But it's these intriguing ones in the middle that we like to, you know, really get to know. Sometimes we fall in love a little bit. And I think in this case we could have, but it was just too horrible and rubbish and cliched.
It wasn't just a dog with one eye. It was a dog with one eye and rabies.
Some things are just, you know, you need to put them down. And you need to put this DVD down and back on the pile of films in the film bin. I don't know what I'd say, really. Have you got a monster in mind?
I'm trying to... I don't know, it's really hard. I could, to take one from another video game, actually, this is going to be really complicated. It, like, fans of Silent Hill would know who the Pyramid Head character is.
Mm.
And when he first appeared in the second game, it was this really, like, interesting, intriguing monster who embodied the main character's, like, self-punishment.
Right.
Mm.
Like, he was the character's judgment of himself, and he appeared repeatedly to punish him for things he'd done in his past. And then in the film and in subsequent games where he's appeared, he's just become a movie monster. He's a big muscular guy with a big pointy triangle helmet who just kills people for no reason. Like, he's just in the translation from a video game where he was interesting and had a lot of depth to a film of a video game, he just became a completely meaningless generic monster.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what's happened here.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm, it's a good one. That's a good one.
I think all I'd add is it was a hard slog at the beginning because it is just so generic. But if you sit through it long enough, you do start to enjoy little elements. Especially, it kind of picks up a little bit when The Rock becomes a psychopath and is like...
Yeah.
He's doing the right thing and saving Earth, but at the same time being a complete, you know, heartless git about it. So it almost gets intriguing, and then it becomes kind of fun. When it's in the kind of first-person shooter mode, it's kind of funnier. You know, it almost starts to get enjoyable. So it's got moments, but that's it, really.
I would say it's not one to buy, but don't necessarily avoid it if it's on TV or something.
Maybe. Like, I think the monster, I guess I would have it be is... So in, like, Madame Two Swords, they have the scary bit with, like, you know, Waxworks monster characters and horror. They have the horror bit. What's that called?
I know what you mean, but I don't know what it's called.
No, I can't remember what it's called either, but yeah, we know what you mean.
But Madame Two Swords, you know, is like this famous, you know, waxwork museum with all these famous celebrity, you know, I guess, dummies, all created. And it's kind of not, it's not a Madame Two Swords, it's Louis Two Swords, the kind of Blackpool version of the London-based one, from the less talented, like, relative of whoever Madame Two Sword was. Like, and it's the horror section of that place, and it's just kind of a poor imitation of something scary, and just laughable, and you just, You know, it's just weak. And if you take a photo of it, in the light, they look worse because they're meant to be kind of in the dark, like this whole film was. And if you, you know, shine any light on it, you get terrible photos back of like the kid from Exorcist. But you take a picture, all the colors are wrong, and it just looks unscary. So it's kind of like the poor imitation waxworks in Louis Two Swords, I guess, of these horror characters. Because, you know, it's a poor imitation of... Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, you get it.
So, you know, with all that said, I think we're done.
I think so too.
So let's say goodbye.
Bye!
Semperfi.
What's that? Does he sort of laugh at himself in the film?
Yeah, I couldn't do it without laughing.
I couldn't say it.
Oh.
What?
I remembered one thing that I just want to drop in real quickly.
Yeah, please do.
Somebody got shot or bit. I can't quite remember which. They tried to resuscitate them, and it didn't work.
That never happens. That's a film trope reversed. Whenever someone's resuscitated, they always, like, kind of save them, and then, they rue the fact that they saved them because they come back alive. They come back to life. But, although he did come back to life later, even though they failed.
Yeah, but still, resuscitation didn't work. That's a point.
Well done.
A point for Doom.
You swerved a cliche once. Anyway, time to go. Bye.
Bye.